Man, it's gonna be so great when I could retire in 50 years.
Oh my god, it's so bleak.
It just never ends.
Yes, so far off now. It's like, oh man, when I'm 65, I'm gonna start living my life to the fullest.
Just like export everything in MP3, it would save a lot of space.
But is that better quality?
It is not.
Yeah. No. Don't do it.
You gotta go for the highest quality possible.
Oh god.
Just like when you watch anime, you can't just watch the 360p version on YouTube anymore. Now it's gonna be the 1080p 4K HD quality version. You gotta highest quality possible. I think we could just do an intro.
Yeah.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Mumi. I don't have a last name. Here with me is Sai. He also doesn't have a last name.
Well, no, I'm not with you. I'm actually several hundred miles away. In a different city entirely.
Well, you're with
part of the country.
You're with me in spirit.
No, not even in spirit. I don't want to be anywhere near your house in spirit.
Oh. Well, I guess not with me then, but we're joined by someone else that's also not with us, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Dori Amani.
Yes. Hello.
So yeah, what? I guess to kind of give yourself an introduction to people who might be listening that aren't familiar with your content.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you do on YouTube?
I currently do magical girl. Well, it's always magical girl, but magical content, video essays I've been into lately. So I kind of do a variety of things. You could probably tell on there, but I kind of just move based on like what I'm most itching to do and what's most fun.
Yeah, you do video essays, but they're very interesting because it's kind of like it's almost edited like a vlog or something.
Mm.
I've always really liked the editing you do on those. They make it very fun to like sit there and watch and listen to.
Oh, maybe that's because of the vlogs that I did earlier this year. I kind of experimented with that. And
it's definitely a nice change of pace from like, you know, sitting on your couch in front of a green screen, not calling anyone specific out who might be listening.
I can't think of anyone.
Definitely.
Listen, all right. YouTubers do not listen to this podcast. I can think of no YouTubers who have ever listened to our podcast before.
No. No, definitely not one Alex Artorias. So I guess since you do such a variety of content, like what kind of inspired you? Because like some people will be like, oh, I wanted to make video essays on this thing because I'm really interested in these things. But like since you do such a wide variety, like what kind of got you started into making vlogs and then video essays and then like reaction stuff?
I feel like all of them are based on like what I was really into watching at that time, but I still like I'm subscribed to and watch all of those YouTubers like to this day. I started in 2022 and well, I actually was like on TikTok a bit and I was trying to start doing like music stuff because I went to school for music and that was like what I really wanted to do. And I felt really weird about it. Like I wasn't having fun and I like even when stuff would do well, I didn't enjoy how I felt about it. But like what I was consuming was like I was watching Your Boy Roshi and they do reactions for like anime and different shows. And I was watching Ochiba Wolf Collection and she's a Sailor Moon YouTuber. Like she does a bunch of unboxings and reviews and stuff. And I didn't even know that that was like possible. Like, I didn't know that that was a realm on YouTube that people found success in. And I was like, you know what? I want to kind of try and do like videos on stuff that I find fun, and like maybe it won't be as stressful, or like I won't feel as weird about it, and I'm just gonna have fun with it. And then like immediately found success doing that. It was kind of because I was trying so hard with like the music TikTok stuff, and like it wasn't making sense. And then I switched over to Magical Girl stuff, and it was like immediately I was like, oh wow, okay. And I didn't even have to like be stressed or cry about it. So I've just been doing that ever since. It's kind of like snowballed. I didn't expect things to go this far.
Well, I feel like people can like tell if you're like kind of doing stuff that you're not necessarily enjoying, right? Uh-huh. Like I feel like it kind of will come through. It might not be like obvious on like you're having a full-blown panic attack in like the middle of the video or something, but like it kind of comes through. It's like, oh, this is interesting. I don't know this, I'm not really feeling the video, but it's interesting. Like, whereas if you're just having fun, it's easy. It's you're not working a day in your life. Mm-hmm. You're doing something you enjoy. Mm. I think you kind of talked about it in like your video where you're talking about like being too old to watch Magical Girls and stuff, like kind of putting out the perspective of like someone that's, you know, older and being able to talk about like Magical Girls, which is something that is kind of seen for like being for kids, obviously.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, I think we kind of, I feel like people that do content creation generally, not everybody, but like a lot of people feel like oh, I don't see, at least that's how I got into it, right? It's like I didn't see what I wanted to see out of people making content. Mm. Like I didn't see like my perspective on a show, or like I was like, people aren't talking about this thing in this show, and like people aren't talking about like these aspects of like anime and stuff. So like I started making content creation from that sort of point. Mm-hmm. Of like not seeing myself represented in that way. I feel like a lot of people kind of can get into it. I feel it's a very common thing with like content creation.
That is interesting, because it's like when you don't see that content on the internet, like to me that meant that people don't care. Like they don't care enough about like an Ojimadra Doremi topic, like the wands or the toys or something. Like that's not something that people want to see. Then you make the video for fun, and then it ends up like people enjoy that. So I don't know. I think I've kind of had to just follow my gut and like what is just a fun topic that I want to dive into, rather than thinking about like what's something that's already been made and like copying or like modeling after that video.
Yeah, definitely. It is a thing, because like you're like, oh, I'm gonna try doing it this way. And then, like, you don't see initial success, right? Because no one does. When they're very, very few people see, like, overnight instant success. Mm-hmm. But it's like, maybe this is just not being, maybe I'm not being successful because people don't want to see this. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why no one's ever tried doing this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily, the more I do kind of stuff on YouTube, the more I realize like maybe it's not necessarily that so much as just like it's just not being put in front of people. Mm. For whatever reason, like a lot of people, maybe it's like SEO reasons, maybe it is that people don't want to see it, maybe it is like a engagement thing, like, oh, it's not getting enough engagement, and so people don't really it's weird, it's not really that transparent.
Yeah.
Like all the stats they have, it's like, it still doesn't really give you a good idea of what you're doing creatively and how it's like working. Yeah. You just kind of have to like parse through this nebulous sort of numbers that are like telling you general things and like try to figure it out. It's kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah. I understand.
But I do think it's interesting when you like see people that kind of like lean into sort of niche subjects, like a specific, like very specific thing, like Magical Girls or like even mechas or something. Cause you start getting into kind of interesting, like an interesting way to like to consume and like kind of talk about these shows. Cause like there's like conversations that are happening with like Magical Girl shows specifically, or like mecha shows, that you're not going to get with just a general, like other, like people just talk about whatever, about like a Jujutsu Kaisen 1 week. And then like, what's a popular show this season? I don't know. Demon Slayer this week, or, Lucid Samurai. All those are battle shonen. And I, you can do this, something similar with, but like, you kind of get into like this interesting sort of mindset of like database consumption when you're talking about like a specific genre that you don't get from sort of general subject matters. Cause like I know you made like a video talking specifically about like the colors of like Precure characters, and like how you kind of almost like had to figure out what color they represent based on like what kind of character role they kind of fill. Cause it's not so clear cut when they're like got 12 colors on them. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You're not getting that with like a discussion about Kaguya or something. Right.
That's funny.
You get into a very kind of specific mindset and like a specific form of like media consumption and insight when you're doing it that way.
I wonder why that is though. Like, could there not be?
You could. I just don't think a lot of the people that kind of are generally consuming anime, obviously if you're consuming from like a lot of different sources, you're not necessarily thinking about, it might come to mind sometimes, like, but like you're not generally considering like, oh, this character in Kaguya reminds me of this character in, I don't know, Demon Slayer or something. And so you start like deconstructing like why those characters remind you of each other, and then like what the audio are like, what you think that they're trying to say by like those differences, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like it's much more sort of readily available to you when you're talking about like Magical Girls or like mecha or like a specific genre, because there's like that kind of whole lineage thing,
right?
But then you're like, when you're talking about Precure, you have what, 15 other Precure series to be able to kind of compare it to. So I think it's just a matter of like people that are kind of immersed themselves into talking about like these specific kind of genres are kind of coming at things from that angle more so than people that are just watching whatever, that's whatever's popular, whatever's just airing, right?
Like me.
Like, no, you could definitely do it. I just think it's more common because it's just kind of more readily apparent in those spaces. Like, cause like we talk about, like a show, like a Spy Family or something, and start comparing it to, Dragon Ball Z or like whatever. Like you can definitely do it that way. It's just, it's not as common, I don't feel like.
Yeah, definitely. With the Precure, it's like the colors. It's so much so a part of the inner workings, like the body of the franchise, that it's almost its own. It is its own subject matter. It's like, it's very serious, there's a lot to discuss. And people have their own opinions, and you're never going to like all agree on the same thing.
Precure colors are serious business, honestly. I guess on a same kind of subject of perspectives, when you were kind of referencing like how you make different content, you made your most recent video, at least as of recording, was you making a
tourbillon
cake. which is from the third season of like Doremi.
Yes.
It was kind of interesting. It was almost like a thought exercise for me, because it's like you initially kind of see it. You're like, wow, that's kind of a weird idea. Like you're going to make it kind of interesting. You're making something from a show that, you know, they made it in the show. So you're going to make it. But then like, you think about it and you're like, they kind of encourage you to do that, right? Like it's not really that weird. You're making something that they like give you the instructions on how to make, because that's kind of how they almost intended for some people to consume the show that way, and like learn how to do that.
They had like every recipe from that season on the website, impressively.
Yeah. And it's like, it's weird to like put yourself in that. Cause like, I'm so used to watching anime from like removed Western perspective. Like even when I was a kid, like you're still, like not kind of consuming it in that way, where I've not really thought about watching it like a tutorial or like, like the way so many people will watch like Precure or something on a streaming website, and they're like, you know, older, in their 20s or something. You're not necessarily thinking about what it's kind of providing for like morals or like for kids or like learning a new skill or something, or like introducing them to because like a lot of the Precure seasons, like they'll kind of touch on like when a character gets like corrupted or something, like they're corrupted. I'm thinking of like a Go Princess or like a Heart Catch or something.
Yes.
Like they have like something they're interested in or a dream they're trying to pursue or something, and then like they kind of will delve into that and like kind of show that how they're kind of trying to achieve that thing, and then it gets corrupted or whatever. So for a kid, that can be valuable because it's like, oh, this is something you can do with your life. You could become a picture book author. You could be a marine biologist or whatever. But like, I guess as so many of us kind of consume it now as we're adults, you're not really thinking about that. So like the idea of making a cake is like, oh, that's weird and quirky.
That's never funny to do that. You say that. Like in Go Princess, the idea of dreams and like you can, one of the characters, Minami, she changed her dream midway through the season. And like for some reason that really, like that part was really what stuck out to me with Go Princess. It was like a life-changing a life-changing storyline. It was like, that's not something that I considered. I don't know why.
Wait, you could do that? You can change your path of life?
I don't know why it didn't click to me with any other form of media, but like maybe because it is like a children's show, and it's so pure in that, and its presentation, that like it was something that I needed to see. But that's all to say that like maybe, like I hope that now that Precure is like on Crunchyroll and is like more accessible, that like adults can get something out of it. It's nice that it's for kids and like those messages are for them. But like, I don't know, I'd hope that
you could still definitely get something out of it as an adult. And that's something I've noticed a lot with children's media, is that it often functions more as a two-way street, where, you know, it's obviously it's in the core demographic, it's made for kids. but you know, adults could still, you know, watch it and enjoy it and actually maybe even get something out of it. Whereas, you know, obviously media made for more for adults. Kids really can't, don't, if a kid watches it, they may not necessarily understand like what's going on. Maybe they just outright shouldn't watch it depending on the content.
Mm. Right.
Which is something I like to see when I watch, like, I recently got a subscription to PBS Kids on Amazon so I could watch Arthur.
Oh, I wanted to watch Arthur. Any particular reason? Was there an episode that you remembered?
No, I just had the song stuck in my head and I was like, I want to watch Arthur now, so I'll just put it on when I like fall asleep sometimes.
I love that.
Just listen to the theme song on repeat for like 40 minutes.
Until it starts to annoy me.
But yeah, no, I there's definitely like a kind of hidden depth, I think, with like a lot of children's media.
Yeah.
Like I think
at least when it's well made, yeah.
Right. Like when it's not just the jingly keys version of
when it's not Booba or Teletubbies where it's rotting my brain watch. I feel like I'm being programmed to be a Soviet spy.
Your sleeper agent from Booba. But yeah, no, when it's well constructed, like when it's quality, quote, very, we're going
to quote unquote,
it's a low bar, but we'll say quality.
Yeah. When it's not like brain rot.
Right. There's that kind of hidden depth. Like I always think, I feel like it's easier to like demonstrate with like games almost. Cause like you look at like a Pokemon or something and like very surface level Pokemon's like very easy game to play. Right. Like you play it like 7 years old and you're not having that much difficulty playing the game. But like when you get older and you kind of can understand the mechanics more, then you kind of get in the competitive aspect and get in like, okay, I need to do X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
And getting this very specific kind of result. I feel like a lot of children's stuff is that way, where it's like there's not really a barrier to entry to it. Like you don't have to like read Derrida or something to watch Ojima's Dorami. But like you kind of, it almost acts as like a kaleidoscope where it's like as you watch at different points in your life, you're going to get different things out of it because you're going to see the different perspectives that are in there, and different things are going to end up resonating with you depending on where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel that with I feel like
you even identify with like different characters.
Yeah,
like you brought up like Akagi no An earlier, and I feel like if you watched that as a kid, you'd probably identify more with An. But watching it as an adult, I ended up identifying more with Marilla.
By Matthew, or
Matthew's there. He's not like the most present character, though.
I mean, I too,
not as much as Marilla.
I too want to grow up to be an unspeaking old man that just sits in the corner
that is afraid of women.
Oh my god,
living the dream.
Those,
I just have to live with my sister for the rest of my life.
Those kinds of characters that like I didn't like when I was younger are the ones that I realized, oh, that character is like me. Like, that's crazy. I really resonate with them and their character in this show. And it's weird. I don't know why that is, but it's happened so much, even outside of anime. Where it was like Degrassi, the show with like the teens in high school. There were a couple characters.
Where the Drake is from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I'm like, oh, God, this character reminds me of like a younger version of myself. And I didn't like them when I was younger. And that's kind of messed up for some reason. I'm like, yeah, that's the interesting thing about growing up, I guess.
I wonder if part of that is like social. I don't know, like, because I kind of think about like the characters I didn't like when I was younger, and it generally was because they like didn't kind of conform to like a certain idea. Like they would be kind of annoying or something. And I'm like, oh, this character sucks because they're talking about this thing or something. Like that. I wonder how much of that is like social conditioning, I guess. And then like as you get older and you kind of like have your own experiences, you're like, oh, I don't find this character nearly as insufferable.
Mm.
But I do feel like part of that, what you're describing, I feel like part of that could be like, because they're so close to you, you kind of like, it highlights like the negative aspects because like the aspects that you see of from yourself kind of just kind of blend in as being like normal, so that it didn't like exaggerates the negative aspects. I feel like I could have the same thing. Like, I feel like I've had that experience. But yeah, people write off kid shows, and it's just like some of the like cool, like people that like are in the Sakuga, like animation stuff, some of the coolest like production stuff is usually on kid shows.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like if you like anime and you're like writing off, honestly, that's probably the majority of anime. maybe not anymore. I don't know. I'd have to sit there and like actually do the math, but I feel like that's like the majority is just like kid stuff. It's like, well, that's where most of the staff is. Like, what are
I'm
you
curious
watching?
As to like the boundary between like kids anime and like stuff made for like teenagers or adults, because I think, you know, here in the West, we would say like, well, One Piece is like an anime for like, you know, older teens, adults, mm-hmm. not necessarily little kids. But it's airing at the same time slot Sunday morning as stuff like Precure. Yeah. So then assume there's like a deal of crossover between those audiences, between, you know, you may watch Precure at like 8 a.m. and then a half hour later, 9 a.m., One Piece comes on. Maybe I think it's on a different station, but it's like, I wonder how much crossover there is between if there are like kids watching both of them. I know there are kids watching like Demon Slayer, like little kids. Just funny to think about.
Yeah, I feel like I remember like when I would wait for stuff, like sometimes I'd come home or whatever and just watch like Powerpuff Girls when I was trying to watch like Dragon Ball Z or whatever. So I would imagine there was probably a crossover. I wonder if it's like a thing where it's like Toei just owns like a significant chunk of a time slot, like 2 hours or something, and they just throw like their four big properties in that slot or what?
Yeah, Sunday morning. I mean, you probably get a lot of kids who are just home Sunday morning just watching that.
Because you did bring it like One Piece is Toei, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, One Piece is Toei.
Yeah. I was about to say, I was like, I started doubting myself. I'm like, wait, no, it could have been Perot. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, like, because they are, and like, Dragon Ball was also Toei. So, like, maybe in Precure. So, I guess maybe they were all, maybe there's a thing where it's like, it's just like their time slot that's like Toei.
Yeah, I guess I'd check to see when Dragon Ball Super was playing in Japan, like, what time slot that was.
That's definitely something I don't look into all that much is time slots and.
Yeah.
Broadcast.
I'd be surprised if it were in the morning.
But even as far as like animation goes, like Pokemon, like the more recent seasons, not always, but the more recent seasons have also had some really, really stellar like animation and just action scenes in it.
Yeah, like Sun Moon, I guess, is the one everyone.
Sun and Moon is like the one a lot of people want. But I think even now, still, like you get like a lot of still like really good animation. Whereas as a kid, growing up with the Diamond and Pearl anime.
Woo. Oh, wow.
That was some stilted stuff. Thinking back, or like Bakugan. Bakugan.
Oh,
is,
my God.
I rewatched some of that. In my memory as a kid, it looked so much nicer. Maybe it's because I was watching on a crappy CRT. But I look at it now and go, oh.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
I should go back and watch those, because like when I was younger, I didn't notice that any difference between like good animation and bad animation.
Yeah. I don't even really process the difference between like 2D animation and like when it would go to CG.
Oh, like the bad like kind like, of like late 2000 or late 90s CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like very jarring, but I guess, you know, as a kid, you're not necessarily thinking of that. It's just, well, one, I was watching it in the morning, usually before I went to school, and was super tired, barely awake. But I think it's also, yeah, it's something you're thinking about in like sixth grade. Like, why does it look different now? And it's like, well, it's easier to animate that way.
Why would they ruin Ash? Why does he look like a plastic, like, rounded bubble character now? What the heck?
kids being outraged at that, like I saw, like, adults were when Sun and Moon was announced.
I don't know. I feel like there could be kids that were, like, upset with that. They're like, what the fuck? It's just like it made for babies now. And they're like, you know, nine.
They're nine?
I feel like that's something I would hear a 9-year-old say.
That probably is.
Maybe, yeah.
Complaining that Pokemon looks like it's for babies now.
I'm an adult now. I'm 10 years old.
I'm not into this baby shit like Pokemon.
I mean,
it was really like that.
That is how you feel.
Yeah,
that is how you feel. It's like whenever like if you're like a little kid, if you're like 7 years old, and you interact with a 13-year-old, in your mind that 13-year-old is basically just a fully functional adult. They're already shaving, paying taxes, and rent and stuff.
When I was 11, yeah. When I was 11, 14 seemed like the peak of, like, living. Like, I was like, wow, right? I can't wait till I get, like, all the Disney stars are 14 right now. That's crazy. I can't imagine my life.
Carly is in high school.
I remember being
when you get to high school, you know you've made it.
When I was like 10, I was on the internet. It seemed like everyone on the internet was 14. I'm like, man, I can't wait to be 14.
No. Life is gonna be so great when I become a teenager.
I want to get my own Breakfast Club intro when I go to high school.
Well, and then it just moves on to be like, oh, it's gonna be so good when I graduate high school and go to college, and then it's when I graduate college and get a job. It's gonna be, and then at that point, the cynicism just fully sets in. You're like, oh yeah,
man, it's gonna be so great when I could retire in 50 years.
Oh my god. It's so bleak.
It just never ends.
Yeah, it's so far off now. It's like,
oh man, when I'm 65, I'm going to start living my life to the fullest.
It really is just looking forward to something that's in the future.
The goal, like,
man, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for the weekend. And you do this the majority of your life.
Man.
And then it's over. Then it's done.
To keep this from getting too depressing, that is also something you do see in magical girl anime.
Oh my god.
Oh?
Where like, no, where in terms of like you know, it usually, like, a lot of stuff involves like a young girl either literally or metaphorically growing up to become older.
Mm. I was like, I don't remember where they're like, I can't wait to die.
Not the mundanity of like daily life repeated for 45 years and then you die. No, not that.
I mean, there is that magical girl show about them working for a corporation coming out this year.
Oh yeah. I have the first volume of that.
I heard the manga was pretty good. Like, I've heard people say good things about it. So I'm kind of curious.
Like, the idea of magical girl is just, it's work. It's a job. And reminding me of, like, because there's always like the contract. I want a show. I want something about the magical lawyers who are drafting these contracts.
I mean,
this is a specific detail.
Now you're just describing wizard barristers.
Is that an anime?
Yeah. It's done by the guy who did the character designs for Kite.
Interesting.
From like 2014, I think.
And is it like a court of law but with magic?
Yeah, they're like, people are suing someone's like, you did this fire spell and it singed the paint on my car. It's the most mundane shit half the time.
I'm ready to watch it. That sounds wonderful.
I remember it being very bad, but maybe you'll enjoy it. I don't know. I feel like that's a thing where you like watch something 10 years ago and it was bad and you watch it now and after like 10 years of experience either with anime
It'll
or life
with
and you're
you.
Like yeah you're like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting. That happened with Orewa Twin Tales or whatever it is, like the Twin Tales anime. That's kind of a magical girl sort of,
yeah
more of a super Sentai, but
yeah
but I remember watching that and being like, which partly I don't blame like my older self, because part of it was like the broadcast of it was melting.
Oh yeah, did not. Yeah, you were showing me comparisons between like the broadcast version and the Blu-ray version. The Blu-ray version looks much better.
Yeah, the broadcast was production wise not good toward the last half or so. But like going back, I'm like, oh, this is kind of an interesting commentary on you know, fandoms and like otaku culture and stuff.
Yeah, well, the villains are just like otaku.
Yeah,
like Twin Tails.
They're all obsessed about different things. It's like, oh, my obsession is stronger than yours.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, like that's kind of stuff that you're not going to pick up on when you're like kind of just getting into anime, I guess.
No.
It just highlights different forms of consumption. Like when you immerse yourself in Magical Girls, and you can deconstruct different elements of Creamy Mommy versus Full Moon versus Monica Magica.
Well, you're kind of odd in this situation, though, because you never watched Sailor Moon as a kid. So
no,
you didn't watch any Magical Girl anime as a kid, did you?
I saw some Card Captors.
Does Totally Spies count?
Totally Spies. Does Powerpuff Girls count?
Does Powerpuff Girls count?
Powerpuff Girls is kind of a vibe. That's kind of a vibe.
It's in there.
But no, they didn't have a lot of Magical Girls on like Western TV when I was a kid. So
yeah.
If you're talking like
Sailor Moon
mid 2000s or like
early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah. The only things on were like Winx and Magical Doremi.
Oh yeah, Winx.
Had like, I remember just being like Cardcaptors, Sailor Moon, and Powerpuff Girls. I guess you want to count that. I did like Powerpuff Girls.
I wasn't even old enough to like have cognitive awareness of like Sailor Moon being on TV. My sister is older than me, but I was like, I didn't get started with Sailor Moon. Like my introduction to Magical Girl anime was Magical Doremi on 4Kids.
Oh yeah, on all of these were just on the CW, which is probably also why I didn't see a lot of them.
It wasn't even called CW when I was a kid. It was the WB.
What was it called?
It was the WB.
WB.
Warner Brothers.
Oh. What does CW stand for now?
Chris Warner, I think.
Chris Warner.
I think it literally just went from like Warner Brothers to just one of them.
Oh no. Huh.
Yeah, I just kind of associated that channel with cheaply made shit as a kid.
Wait, they had Cubics though. Like, what?
That's true. I don't know. I have some sort of ancestral memory with Cubics. I don't know why. I don't know at what point in my life I ever watched that show, but I do remember it.
It sounds familiar.
If I show you it, you may also just get like a sudden flashback where it's like, oh God, this existed, right?
It was the CGI robot show with the cube.
Again, didn't really process it. I guess I kind of processed it
more as CGI. Yeah, I just Googled it.
This show,
Oh, wow.
Like, oh. It's like awakened like a trauma in me. We're like, oh, God. I remember everything now.
This was one of those shows that like I wouldn't pay attention during. Like it was just on.
Came on, you're like waiting for the next show to come on. Yes. Like, oh. I'm going to go get some cereal and come back and maybe it'll be over.
My most distinct memory of the show is not even of the show itself. I think it's I did something good, right? Like I did my chores as a kid and as a reward, I got some Cubics stickers.
Oh no.
That I think I put on like my bed frame.
Oh man.
What a reward.
I was so happy. Yeah.
I was so happy.
I got stickers.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, so some stuff you can go back and watch some stuff you saw as a kid and appreciate it more. Some stuff just doesn't age well.
No. A lot of stuff doesn't age well, actually.
A lot of stuff. Like, I tried watching Danny Phantom recently. I was like, this is fine. This is fine.
Danny Phantom's not anime, though, so no one cares.
That's true. It's true. I'm trying to think of what anime I even watched as a kid besides, Pokemon. Which even at the time, I think it was like, this looks kind of ass.
Digimon?
I did not watch Digimon as a kid. I did watch Kirby Fully Loaded.
Kirby? See, the problem is like you're...
No, no, not Kirby Fully Loaded. No, that's... No, Kirby Right Back At You. Kirby Fully Loaded is the movie with the Herbie with the car.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, now I remember. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a movie.
Yeah. It had like... Lindsay Lohan in it, I think.
Yeah.
It's a remake of like an older movie. Kirby Fully Loaded. Yeah.
I thought you were still saying Kirby Fully Loaded.
No, Herbie. Yeah. Like the Volkswagen Beetle. I think it talks or something. There's like a spirit in it, like that Stephen King movie. I don't know.
I remember the commercials. I didn't see it.
I did not actually watch it as a kid.
Like that's everyone. Only, I don't know anyone who's actually seen it. Only talking
car movie. There was.
I did watch Kirby Right Back At You as a kid, and I did think Meta Knight was the coolest fucking character ever, and he still is.
I mean, he does teleport behind you and say nothing personal, kid.
This is true. he did kick ass in Smash Brothers Brawl.
He was the strongest in Smash Brothers
Brawl. He was the most broken character.
The only talking car movie I had when I was a kid was Shitty Shitty Bang Bang.
Oh, that's a good movie.
How old I am.
Yeah.
So old. Yeah, you were there when it came out.
I remember when it released.
Like, what year is that?
I remember the guy who was like kidnapping kids with candy in that movie, and it fucked me up.
What is she? That's like 60 something, I think. It's not how old like that, I am. Yeah. Someone's listening to this and does not know how old I am, and is just like, oh, someone's my god,
bored out of their mind.
Shitty 1968. Okay. I guess going back to anime.
Yes.
You make a lot of Madrigal Girl content, but I have seen like not Madrigal Girl merchandise in like your background, like the walls, like you have posters. I think of Fate. I think one was like Shiro, or I could be mistaken on that.
I don't know. I have like Haikyuu posters.
It might be what I'm thinking. Sometimes with fan art, it could be. I'm like, oh, is that like Emiya Shiro? No, that's Hinata from Haikyuu.
Yes.
Oh. But yeah, like so, you're obviously you like anime outside of Natural Girls. So I was curious what might some of your favorite anime that aren't Magical Girls?
Well, definitely Haikyuu. Inuyasha, even though I didn't finish it, I really like, I'm up to like episode 90 or so. I really liked Inuyasha. Is it generic if I say Naruto? Like, I feel like that was a core anime when I was a kid.
Popular show.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm very much into like the magical girl sphere of things, but I would say those are my top three. Okay. At least.
You don't delve into like shoujo all that much outside of like magical girls?
I've wanted to. I feel like I don't watch enough shows. Like earlier I did list a lot of shows that I'm watching at the moment, but that's a very recent thing. Like I watch things very slowly. So like I've wanted to see like Fruits Basket and like Orin High School Host Club. And I just haven't like taken the time to do so. And I feel the same way about like different shonen. Like you guys were talking about Demon Slayer. I have no idea what's going on there, but it's definitely like popular. I want to know more about it.
We're not big fans of Demon Slayer.
honest, so. You're not. Well, I haven't seen it, to be fair.
That means you're not a big fan. So.
Oh, I see. I guess that is true. I can't be a big fan of Demon Slayer.
Yeah, you can't be a fan of something you haven't seen.
That's true.
I saw the first season, which I'm not a huge fan of.
I guess sometimes I feel like insecure in my being a quote unquote anime fan because of how much I haven't seen. But there was like a big chunk of time in my life when I wasn't into anime. I feel like I'm catching up, like I'm playing a game of catch up.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen like I feel like I've definitely seen a lot now. But what I have seen is it's weird because I've also just like skipped over a lot of stuff. Like I still have not seen like a lot of big like classic anime, like a Yu Yu Hakusho or like Utena, things like that. Mushishi, I haven't seen. Like a lot of like critically acclaimed stuff that it's just like you should watch this, and it's like, nah, I'll wait. So it's weird for me. I feel like I'll never see enough anime. Yeah, but I get that feeling though, where it's like especially when I'm talking with other people who have seen anime, especially in like in person contexts, it's to a certain extent it's like I gotta fake it till I make it. So if they bring up something that I have, if they bring up Naruto, I've not seen any Naruto, but I'm just gonna smile and nod and kind of just go along with whatever they're talking about.
Oh man, that's how I felt. Like, I was listening to some of your guys's previous shows and like you were talking about these, bringing up these different names, even just now bringing up these shows that I've like never heard of or not seen. I'm like, just sitting here. I'll listen to what you have to say. I wish I knew more.
It's one of those things too, where it's like, I want to watch more anime, but I'm also in a constant battle with myself where it's like I want to watch as much anime as I can, but I don't want to exhaust myself, and I want to actually watch it when I'm like I feel good. Yeah. I feel like I actually want to watch something. Like if I have like a headache or something, or if I'm just kind of tired, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch anything right now because I feel like I'm not gonna maximize my enjoyment, and I don't want to just consume stuff just to bump my numbers up.
Now, I feel like a lot of people like take breaks and then come back. Like, I didn't watch anime for like what, 8th grade, probably about 5-6 years.
So basically, like most of high school, like all of high school and some middle school.
No, I watched it up till like I was 13, so it was like all high school, and then like I didn't get back into it till a couple years after I graduated. But yeah, I feel like that's a pretty I feel like you kind of just get a perception of anime where like, oh, I'm not really into this anymore for whatever reason. Like if you think it's like, oh, it's for younger people and you're old and you need to move on, or you need to become like this idea of an adult or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I feel like a lot of people kind of will just drift away and then come back at some point. And they're like, oh, I can watch anime and do all I need to do. If I'm interested in a show, I can just watch it. I don't have to worry about how it makes people perceive me.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I've just kind of, and I think this is maybe like emblematic of a broader cultural trend with younger people, is that I feel like we're seeing a kind of a death of like the idea of like guilty pleasures. Where I mean there are some things, you know, where it's like you may not necessarily want to bring up like you may not want to bring up like certain things like in every social context just for the sake of like not just outright weirding people out, but it's becoming, I think, less common for people to feel ashamed for liking certain kinds of things, and that can be anime. I think that's becoming more and more of a thing with music, where you're seeing people having all sorts of like crossovers in terms of like what they're listening to. If they make music, like what's influencing them. Mm-hmm. Like it can be like, you know, the latest Charlie XCX album, and also harsh noise. You know, and I think it's interesting. You see that with anime as well, where it's like, you know, you can be a mecha fan, you can be a magical girl fan, but you can also still like a lot of stuff outside of that and not necessarily need to be, I don't know, ashamed isn't the right word.
Self-conscious, I guess.
Conscious of it. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, oh, I need to like this specific thing.
You can more and more now, you could simultaneously have something like Berserk on your favorites alongside something like Doremi.
Mm. Right. They go hand in hand.
Of course. They are companion pieces.
But yeah, I guess this is that, like, you're not really drawn to a lot of like other stuff. Like, what draws you to Magical Girls, like, specifically, that like captures your interest so much?
I think it's obviously a combination of things. The friendship aspects of it I've always really enjoyed. Particular ones where it's like a group of girls and they have that bond with each other. Probably also the fashion, like the transformations, and that probably has to play a huge part in it, with kind of becoming this other version of yourself, or like this idealized version of you, and then being able to do all of these otherworldly things. That's always been like really attractive to me. And I don't know, like, it kind of drew me in from when I first discovered Doremi, like being 9 or 10 years old. And I've kind of kept that through the years. Like, Doremi stuck with me for years after I dropped anime, basically. But I still enjoyed other things, like Naruto, like Haikyuu. And then came right back to my roots, basically. It's like the pretty aspects, of course. I like it, just inspires me a lot.
Yeah, I feel like the friendship aspect is usually like a great kind of core pathos to like a lot of Magical Girl shows. Doremi is probably the best example, honestly, where it's just like so much of the kind of catharsis, emotional payoff is like the bonds that they're forming and the friendships they have, not even just with like the main characters, but like with their community, classmates and all that.
Right.
I definitely can. That's something that I don't necessarily think they focus on as much in others. Like, I guess like in slice of life anime, I guess you will get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's why sometimes it's hard to recommend Doremi to people, because not everyone's into that. People are more into like the action, more, I guess, like of the Precure, like Sailor Moon side of things. And so when you show them Doremi and it's like 200 episodes and you get to know like the classmate who sits in the back of the room, they're not all that interested. But that kind Doremi's of stuff such a was fun really show, appealing. Though. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
Like Doremi, like you get fucking wacky episodes with like they're like making a vacuum cleaner monster to like fight a dust monster or something. Like it's just a fun show. Like every time I show someone like an episode just out of context, they're always like, "Oh, this is fun, more fun than I thought it would be. I think I just would like the show." But then it's like 200 episodes, so no one ever watches it.
Yeah.
You've never shown me an episode out of context before.
Have I not?
No.
I'm pretty sure I must have at some point.
No. No.
I remember showing like CDL like an episode and after like a group watch or something. I thought you were there.
Maybe I was there. I just wasn't paying attention.
Oh. Well, that's your fault.
Yes, I guess that would be my fault then. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes people will over explain shows. Like they're like, "Oh, you have to like this show because X, Y, Z." It's like, it's good in the sense of like you're kind of showing what you appreciate and like what you kind of take out of it, which I do value. But I think sometimes some people just want to hear like it's a fun show. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know like with Evangelion, people always talk about like, oh, it's about the human condition and my dark twisted thoughts. And like, all, like they make it such like a fucking like depressing sounding show. It's like, yeah, that stuff is there. But like they have an episode where they like do a dance contest and fight a robot with like moves. It's a fun show. It has fun episodes. They have fun character interactions. Not, we don't have to sit there and say that everything is like actually super deep and complex sometimes. Sometimes just.
But then how else will I validate my enjoyment of this thing as an adult who is expected to enjoy deep and dark things?
Right.
True. That is true.
You're telling me Evangelion isn't the anime equivalent of like a Dostoevsky novel?
I feel like I've seen that comparison somewhere.
it probably exists. Yeah, someone's probably done that.
But I guess it's interesting because you like Magical Girl stuff, but you hadn't seen Madoka until recently.
Right.
And given my online persona is contractually tied to Madoka Magica.
We're actually paid by Shaft.
Yeah, Akiyuki Shimbo writes the check himself. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really, it should be the other way around since you're the one using that character, but still.
Well, you know, it's a branded character, so.
It's a branded character.
It's like when you tattoo the logo on your forehead. They give you payout every once in a while. Since you watched it with like kind of that kind of database Magical Girl mindset in mind already, I was curious like what you thought about the show on like your first kind of watch, having that kind of background already.
I think it helped me to enjoy it more than I might have if I didn't have that background. What was weird was I saw a lot of people saying that, like in the comments saying like, oh, it's so refreshing to like hear someone watch this who actually like knows about the genre rather than reactions of people who might have only seen like Sailor Moon or something. Mm-hmm. But I definitely could see the themes of it being a magical girl show because like I've grown up watching different ones and outside of like the typical ones that you know, like Sailor Moon. I also felt like it was outside of the whole like the deconstruction, it's changing the genre type discussion that goes on with it. I didn't feel that very deeply while watching it. Like it really, although it was dark, it felt like I was watching a magical girl show. And I don't know if people like to classify it as being something else, but to me, that's what it felt like, even so.
It's very much a genre piece. Like, people try to like separate, like, oh, it's not like those other magical girl shows. Unlike those, this was about the characters. But like it is very much like nothing about it is like really disrespectful to the genre or anything.
Not at all.
It's not a parody of magic. It's not like, oh, look at this stupid, this fucking genre. Like it definitely is a genre piece. I feel like people just like, you get that with like Ava as well. Like people really want to separate it from where it's kind of couched because they like want to. Oh, this is special. I don't like magical girl shows. I just like Madoka. This is special.
And that's what made, like, going into it made me scared, like, not want to watch it because that's what I've been hearing from people.
Yeah. It works in some capacity because it gets other people to watch it where they're like, oh, well, if it's not like those other magical girl shows I've never seen that I don't like, despite never seeing them, maybe I'll check it out.
Oh my god.
at the same time, it kind of makes this weird expectation where you're like gonna watch it and it's gonna like be some kind of like I don't know, like a dissection of the genre where it's
that sort of exceptionalism, like unlike other magical girl, like you know, stuff like that. I think it is definitely an effective way to market a specific property, to get people to go and check it out, but not necessarily like the genre as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see this with like so much. You see it with like specific genres. You see that with just anime in general. You see that with the funny thing is like visual novels, where people will read one visual novel and go, ah, this is the one good one. And it's like, well, shouldn't this be like an indication to check out more things in that genre?
No, I was recommended to watch.
Shouldn't this be encouraging you to go out and broaden your horizons?
I was recommended to watch this one, so this is the only good one.
Oh.
Because I watched it.
So it's I don't know, it's kind of depressing when you see stuff like that, and it's like, no, there's so much more, there's so much good you're missing out
right.
on. Don't sell yourself short.
Is, I don't know, it's, you want more perspectives, like consuming things, right? Like I want more people who don't watch Magical Girls to watch Magical Girls and like be able to give their, like, it'd be interesting for someone that's like really into mecha, that's like really into like the weird niche things that people that are into mecha get into, like the agricultural politics or something, to like then apply that to a Magical Girl show, or like someone that's really into Magical Girl shows applying that sort of perspective to a slice of life or something. Like getting that kind of like cross pollination would be really interesting to me. It just hasn't got to that point yet, I don't think. The more perspectives, the better.
I mean, it hasn't reached like a critical mass, but I do think you are seeing more of that, I would say.
Yeah, more relatively.
Relatively, yeah. Compared to 10, 15 years prior.
I guess on the subject of Magical Girls for adults, quote unquote. what are your thoughts on like the Magical Girl content that's kind of, it feels like it's kind of made for adults, or like more for like adults in mind, like it's almost like nostalgia content.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the ones for quote unquote adults that are like edgy or whatever. What is your thoughts on like Finding Witch Apprentices or Atona Precure, like 23, like where that's kind of going?
I think those are like really cool additions to each of their franchises. Like I love the Looking for Magical Doremi movie. With both of those properties, I was really hoping when they were announced that it would be more of like a continuation rather than like coming at it from this very, very nostalgic point of view of like, look at what we did when we were younger and look at what we were into when we were kids. It's nice to watch, and it's definitely a feeling that like resonates with the audience that grew up on these shows. But as someone who's still into like the content they're talking about, it would also be really nice to have them be adults, but it not have so much focus on the past and rather look towards like, do you know what I'm saying? Like they're fighting.
Not having like the emotion like, oh, we peaked kind of thing.
Yeah, like I mean like those both of the movie for Doremi and Otona Precure did have like looking towards the future, like it did have those themes, but it didn't give me what I needed in terms of them being adults and handling like adults, like monsters as adults. I don't know. It just, especially with Otona, where they de-transformed into their kid selves. And yeah, that wasn't great. I didn't like that, but
I think it touched on some interesting ideas, but like, you know, Tona Precure like kind of fell off at the end quite a bit. Even in the middle, I was kind of like glazing over a bit. I'm just like, okay, whatever. I think it was an interesting concept. I feel like they both kind of come from a similar place, at least, where it's like, you know, we make these kind of morals and stuff for kids, and then we're like, oh, you should do this and be this and be what you want to be, kind of thing. And then like you get to an adult and you're like, oh, this isn't really that clear cut anymore. Like things aren't so obvious, like what you should do. And I feel like this is kind of them trying to address that, I guess. But at least with like a Tona Precure specifically, it did not do it super well, I don't think. Fighting Witch Apprentices, I think, did it pretty well, honestly. It's not even really like a continuation of, it's a sequel continuation, in the sense of like the events of the Doremi show happened in this universe as a TV show, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a Digimon Tamers or something.
Like, I guess that they're going to do, well, it's thought that they're going to do a continuation with the announcement of like the 1620s, which they had the light novels and they had the trailer-ish thing. I don't know where that's going though. Like, I don't know if they're going to model it off of those novels or if they're going to do something different or if they're going to do the Otona thing. I don't know.
I am interested. I'm curious where we're going to go with it. I'm not really spoiled myself on the light novels or anything, so I don't really know what they did.
I've only read like maybe like one. It's not really heavily translated, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Doremi, like, no one even talked about, like, I remember when I first got into it, in the sense of, like, got interested in, like, even checking it out, was, like, 2011, 2012.
Mm.
And, like, at that point, like, no one talked about it.
Yeah.
Sites like My Anime List, I'm pretty sure it was, like, under 10,000 people even had it on their list. So, like, no one, I feel like no one really knew what it was. And then I didn't end up watching it till around close to COVID.
Yeah.
Like, that at that point, sense. It was so much different. Like, seemed like more people were talking about it, more people were into it. I don't know, it's interesting how, like, things kind of will take on a whole new life with, like, the internet and,
yeah,
I guess, like, people having a lot of free time on their hands.
I'm happy for it. It definitely, because it was, like, when I found it, it was 2006, and then it stopped airing on 4Kids, and then I was kind of into anime still for the next 2 years, but I, like, there was nothing. There was no, like, I couldn't even tell that people had been watching it on TV as it was airing, because there was no noise, and the most information I get was from a French website, like a fan-made website. So it's like completely blown my mind that like so many people now are like sharing their love for it, because they're like, I was like, where were you guys? Where were you guys like 4 years ago?
Right. I mean, I can't say anything, because even when it like aired, I didn't even know it existed. Like, I didn't know it had a dub, and it aired on TV in the West until like I actually started watching it and people like were talking about it, like, oh yeah, it has a dub. I'm like, it has a dub?
That's crazy.
I see like Magical Dory, I think is what the dub's called.
Magical Dory Me.
Is it called Doremi? I thought.
Mm-hmm. But it's like the first syllable of their names. Do, oh, Re, so Mi.
Didn't they change their names in the dub, though?
Mm-hmm. So it's like Dory and then Rayanne and Mirabelle.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh.
See, I've never seen the dub, so. But I'd see like people talking about like Magical Dory or something. I thought there is like the four kids, like, I don't know if you've seen like where they do it like Modica, where it's like Magical Molly. It is like making fun of the dubs. I thought that's what that was. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like I realized it actually had one. I'm like, what?
No, yeah. It was real.
Maybe that was the inspiration. But no, it's cool that people are getting into it's a good show. Like, I feel like people should check out Magical Dormy.
That's all. Not sponsored.
I feel like you've done a lot of have you talked about like your favorite episodes of Dormy or anything? Or I think you've talked about like the Halloween episodes.
Oh,
For like Halloween or
My favorite episode was probably in season 4, like spoilers, I guess, but the very last season, episode 49, and that's where Hazuki learns that she got accepted into like the all girls school, and like she can't tell Doremi. Ugh.
I think isn't that the Mamoru Soda episode? The guy who directed like Summer Wars?
It might be. Those last few episodes were very well directed and storyboarded.
Yeah, I remember the last 10 episodes of the fourth season were like just like a fucking freight train, essentially.
Yeah.
Like all this, I feel like, was it 40 that was like her in the older witch?
Mm-hmm.
And then like from there, it's just like, doesn't stop.
Yeah,
and you go to Night Show and it continues to not stop. I really always liked the episodes with like Doremi and her sister and like learning piano and stuff.
Ugh, yeah. It would remind me of me and my sister.
Mm.
And Pop, Doremi's sister, like, if I were to say any character like reminds me of myself, it is probably her. So those like sister episodes were, they made me so emotional.
Very emotional show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just throughout. I guess since we're on the subject of the adult Magical Girls,
mm-hmm.
what is your take on when people like really are like the edgy kind of Magical Girls in general? Like, what is your opinion on those?
Like which ones? Like the,
Kind of more of the, cause I feel like it's more of a nebulous thing when people talk about it. Like, this is like the idea of them. But if you want like some specific, like you don't have to necessarily give the specific, opinion on like the show or whatever, but like Magical Girl Sight or, Daybreak Illusion, like those kind of show, or Magical Raising Project. It seems like it seems people really don't like those shows.
Oh, really? I feel like I get recommended those a lot.
I feel like when it comes to like the Magical Girl space, I feel like I only ever hear negative things about those shows.
Mm.
Cause like it's always like, oh, why are they doing this to like these characters or whatever, right?
Like the edginess of it all,
right? Like it's like, oh, there's suffering, but there's no heart or that kind of thing. it always seems like it's a very contentious topic. So I was curious, like, if you had any kind of like opinion on them.
I don't really feel any kind of strong way about it, to be honest. Maybe because like when they were coming out, I wasn't really into anime anymore. So like I missed those core conversations of the deconstruction type magical girl shows. So for me, it's like I know they exist, but I don't hate them or feel any negative or ill feelings towards them. I tend to gravitate towards the ones that are like for kids, like the ones that are the cutesy Saturday, Sunday morning. Ones. Yeah, like those are the ones that those are the ones I know I enjoy. So I don't, even then, I don't necessarily like feel myself itching to watch the magical girl sites and the edgy, the ones that you would call edgy. Yeah. But like, I don't hate that they are there. And like, hopefully if it's someone's first magical girl show, it would lead them to watch others.
Yeah.
I'd hope. Yeah, I've seen like a few. I've not drawn to them either. I'm drawn to them in the sense of like, I just will watch whatever magical girl show is airing. I've not actually seen Sight, but I've seen like Daybreak Illusion and Raising Project.
You have like a almost like, maybe clinical isn't the right word, but like a clinical database fascination with them, seemingly.
Yeah, I feel like the more I get into magical girls, the more I'm interested in them specific. Like with like a Raising Project, I remember I was looking for clips to use in a video, and like I ended up like watching a significant portion of it again, just like a rewatch. And I was like, you know, I feel like I was too harsh on this show. Like, even though I wasn't like, I've never been like, oh, these shows shouldn't exist, or they're like somehow taking funding away from like other like Sailor Moon type of magical girl shows or something. I've never been that like negative on them, but like I've probably Raising Project, I remember just being like, oh, this is kind of like whatever. It's just Edge Fest or whatever. It's fine. It's not my cup of tea, but it's whatever. But like going back, yeah. I'm like, oh, this has like the heart of some magical girl stuff in it. It's definitely edgy, to like a silly degree sometimes, and I don't necessarily like that all the time. But it's definitely like made with some reverence to the show. Like they do the whole you know, magical girl jumps or whatever, and like hits her ceiling or something, but they do like the tropes. So it's like it's very clear that the person that involved is at least like a fan of the genre. I feel like the more, I don't know if it's like the older I'm getting or like the more I'm watching from the genre, the more I'm kind of like open to stuff like that, I guess. Like, I know it's not necessarily going to be like a favorite, but it's, I'm not as like staunchly against it,
right?
As there's not like, I feel like some of the idea is like, oh, they're making these in place of like a precure competitor or like Mucle Dreamy or something. I don't really think that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's like both can exist, I guess.
Right.
There's definitely a place for both. Like, we actually were curious at one point, and we like went and like counted up like all the, I guess you would say, adult magical girl shows.
Oh yeah, we ran the numbers.
We ran the numbers, and like there's more magical girl shows that are like aimed for kids and like aren't edgy or kind of have those elements to them airing than there are of the other alternative. But I just feel like people's perception is based on what people are talking about, I guess, in the West.
I was going to say, I guess what people or like magical girl fans are wanting is like the shows that are made for adults, kind of like we talked about earlier, like but less of the Otona aspect and nostalgia aspect, and just it be adults and feature adults and still have those magical aspects that you see in the ones that are made for kids. But I guess since that's not happening, people might feel some type of way if it's like an edgier show. And I've seen people say that like there's too many edgy-ish ones. Not that I've seen them, but that's probably what's going into play.
Yeah, I mean, the way people say it is as if they're like, they're unavoidable when they're very much avoidable. Mm. It's the same thing with like people complain about like, oh, there's so many isekai coming out every season. You know, there's too many of them. It's like, I'm watching like 20 some shows this season. And I think maybe three of them. Right, it's very easy to just not watch like stuff and only watch the things you're interested in.
Are we watching any isekai?
Yeah, a couple. You know, the one with Osamu Dazai and stuff.
So. Oh yeah, that one. And Suicide Squad, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But no,
You
don't have to watch them.
I guess it's a question of like, you know, the people complain. Are they even looking, though, is the question. And that's kind of always the sense. And whenever I see people, like, it just, again, goes for anything. It's like when people talk about, like, movies now are all bad, and, you know, music today sucks or whatever. It's like, okay, but are you really, it's not hard. It's actually, anime is, like, one of the most searchable things ever to find new stuff for, because we have these wonderful, like, pretty comprehensive databases of anime, and then streaming, plenty of streaming services have them. If you want to get it legally, and if you want to get it illegally, it's also like, you know, pirated. It's also pretty easy. So it's like, just take 5 minutes. Take five minutes.
Watch Miracle Dreamy.
Yeah,
that's a new one.
Or listen to us and give you some ideas.
Just watch everything we tell you to watch.
Watch everything we tell you to watch. Is Miracle Dreamy the one with that Aerosmith shows up?
No, you're thinking of Prepara.
Oh, okay.
I've seen like a couple episodes random of that.
Is that some scene? There are a couple scenes I've seen on YouTube of like
they play Born to Be Wild at one point. Where
is it really Aerosmith?
Like riding a motorcycle. Yeah, like a there's a massive like an explosion.
They start playing then, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, I think.
Yeah.
As they're walking away from the explosion in slow motion.
Like actually?
And it's like the
yeah.
Yeah, wow. Let me see if you can find the clip.
Like it when you watch it, it looks like it's like a YouTube poop or like a spoof or something, like someone just added music. Yeah. But no, it aired on TV that way.
Wow.
I think the company that produces Prepara is, I think it's like the same people that own the record.
Oh no, it was Jewel Pet.
Oh, Jewel Pet.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, Jewel Pet. I think the people that like, because like a lot of the publishers in Japan are also like music publishers, so I feel like they just own the rights or something. They're like, oh, let's just use that. It doesn't even look like it goes in the show almost.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't fade in at all. It just starts. Yeah, it
that's
looks
impressive.
Awesome.
I actually kind of love that.
This is what you're missing when you don't watch kid shows.
Yeah, if you just write it off, oh, this looks like it's for kids. It's like, the attitude should be, hell yes, it looks like it's for kids.
Finally.
Finally, anime made for children. Never been done before.
Revolutionary concept. I guess we've been going for a bit. I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, right.
Do you have anything you want to plug or kind of highlight that you're working on that coming up? Or
I have a new video I've been working on. I just finished the script for. I hope to get it out before the end of the month. But we'll see. Honestly, I'm waiting on props, which is not a great decision on my part, but it is what it is. I have a vision. So, so yeah, that's what I got going on.